Welcome back to Healing Trauma. This is Lynn Fraser. Shame is a tool to teach young people the rules of the culture and to maintain social order and hierarchy. It is meant to create an immediate bad feeling, to arrest an action quickly so people won't do the behavior again. Ideally, it is followed quickly by a repair, a connection, where we know that we are not bad. It is our behavior that was not okay. The evolutionary value of shame is that it helps people behave socially, to fit in. We have a survival level need to belong to our community. We can't afford to be kicked out or ostracized. Toxic shame is when we internalize the feeling that there's something wrong with me. We feel ashamed of being who we are. We feel like there's something inherently and deeply wrong. I'm unlovable, I'm bad, I'm disgusting. Toxic shame is primarily self-focused, and it stays internal to become a sense of ourselves, and it really is the basis for the inner critic. The inner critic promotes core deficiency beliefs, and we may feel like we can't let that go. It feels like they help protect me from the devastation of feeling helpless and alone. As adults now, we can see that our strategies as a child were based on our brain development, our relative lack of power, and not wanting to feel helpless. Now as an adult, we can know it was never my fault and I didn't cause this. Why do we continue to shame ourselves? What would happen if we let go of these beliefs? Do we still need them? Many people believe we need to drive ourselves in order to produce, be functional in society, make a go of things, get ahead. There is a commonly accepted error in thinking around shame. New research over the last several years around body shaming confirms that it never helps. Shaming harms our ability to change. When we feel shamed, we collapse. We go inside, we can't move. Awareness is the first step to come out of shame. With mindfulness, we can be aware of the sensations in our body, the thoughts in our mind. The inner critic may have been here since we were very young, and it is a familiar background noise that we might not even notice. To stop internal shaming, we have to start where we are and not wait until we are somehow better to be worthy of accepting ourselves. This is practical. Self-acceptance and compassion rewires earlier shame experiences, and a lack of self-compassion keeps shame alive. We could look at specific things we shame ourselves for. Mistakes are part of the human condition, especially for children. Does this shaming fit the facts? Is it appropriate to the situation? Does it still apply? Would we see it that way if it was a friend who'd made that mistake? We are often so harsh on ourselves. Gratitude and self-compassion can be a way to move out of the isolation and self-loathing of shame and into social connection. Shame is an experience we feel all through our whole system. We can't just think our way out of this. We feel shame in the body and we have an immediate desire to make it go away at all costs. When we feel shamed, we typically lower our head, lower our eyes, and roll our shoulders over and down. There could be a feeling of nausea or ringing in the ears. The breath could be held or very shallow. We lose our sense of humor. And we have no sense of perspective. Shame feels like a threat. We feel exposed and without value. We can move shame out of the body, change our body position, stand up and move around, take some deep breaths or do box breathing, and bring your eyes up and look outward. Make eye contact, if possible, with someone friendly. Bring your shoulders back and down to open your chest. Breathe deeply. Bring awareness to the soles of your feet and the palms of your hands. As we work with shame, we learn that we can tolerate the feeling and the sensation. It doesn't shut us down anymore in quite the same way. To really heal shame, we need to shift from the I am bad to a behavior focus. Maybe I've done something wrong. This helps us to know that there's nothing wrong with us at our core. Putting everything on the table is an antidote to shame. This is exactly who I am. This is how I felt. This is what I worked through. Let's look into the inner critic, that voice in our head that condemns us and ridicules us and drives us. It shames us. What is your inner critic's job? What is it trying to accomplish? Did it take over for a parent? If you could interview the inner critic, how would it see its job? Stay connected with your breath and your body. Take care of yourself as you're looking. See if you can sense into what your inner critic is trying to accomplish. Bring up a specific situation, maybe something that happened, a mistake you made, an incident that you've been berating yourself about. What was going on in that specific situation? The words? Who else was there? What is it that you did that you felt you shouldn't have? Or that you didn't do that you felt you should have? What is the inner critic saying to you? Bring it up vividly in your mind's eye. See the images, hear the words, and stay connected with your body and your breath as you're looking. When the inner critic does come up, what kinds of things does it say? What do you think the underlying intent of that is? Is it possible your inner critic was trying to get you to hold back, to protect you from something? Is it related to a social threat, an emotional one? Stay connected with your body. Keep your breath really steady. How effective is your inner critic? Did it accomplish its goal? Are there other ways that you could have met that? Could you have done something else to accomplish the same goal? You're probably going to have to put the recording on pause sometimes. Give yourself the time to really sink into this. Notice if there's any relationship with shame. Your inner critic's voice, the words it uses. Is it a shaming experience? Do you feel shamed? What is your internal experience with that? You could look back through your life and see how the patterns of this inner criticism have developed. How your own core deficiency beliefs have played into it. Maybe you were shamed from your parents, and now maybe you're shaming yourself. What is your response to this in your body, in your mind? When we can see our deficiency beliefs and see how they were formed, it would make sense that we could let them go. We know, we understand in our conscious mind, and yet oftentimes they linger. Take a look and see what would happen if you were to let go of your core deficiency beliefs, of unlovable, unworthy, something really wrong with you, and if you could let go of the inner critic. What does that feel like in your body? Is there a tightening? Is emotion coming up? Is your breath changing? Is it safe to let go of this? If you were never again to have that inner critic voice, would you never get out of bed in the morning? Would you never do something hard? All the things you drive yourself with now through that inner critic voice, what would happen? In truth, and this is backed up by research, the inner critic doesn't help. The inner critic is about keeping us playing small so we won't be judged. When we're free from the inner critic, we're able to be open and authentic, and we're not worried about other people's judgments. Maybe your experience is that you were always judged. You were always found wanting. You could never do it good enough. The memory of how horrible that felt is part of what drives this inner critic, this need to be better. Stay grounded in your body, your breath, in witnessing. This is a mindfulness inquiry. Is there a longing in you to know yourself, to really be on your own side? If the role or the purpose of the inner critic is to keep you safe, to protect you from other people's judgments, what other way could you accomplish that? In the next segment, we're looking into kindness and compassion. That is actually the answer. As we see that the role or the job of the inner critic is to protect us, that it's really on our side, even though it's very convoluted and it's not actually working well for us, maybe we could turn our attention to being kind and compassionate with ourselves, to being an inner encourager, an inner cheerleader, to support us in the kind of change that's really healthy, that will help us to be connected and safe and happy. We can heal from shame. We can turn it around and become a real support for ourselves. Tomorrow we're going to work with kindness and compassion. That's the real key to this, to becoming our own friend, to understanding our system and our mechanisms of defense and protection. Control and perfectionism fit in with this as well, and this relates to the core deficiency beliefs. There's often a feeling that if we could be perfect, if we could have everything under control, that we wouldn't be hurt. That's part of the drive behind the inner critic, and often we really believe that that's true. Having some compassion for ourselves, just that we were having a hard time, helps us to be open and honest and vulnerable. Shame doesn't really have a chance once we're doing that. Shame needs darkness and secrecy. We need to keep that to ourselves in order for shame to stay alive. When we make mistakes, we often feel regret or guilt. Acknowledging that might help us to make a different decision, to do the right thing next time. But shaming ourselves shuts that down. We feel so bad about ourselves, we collapse inside. Taking responsibility for our behavior, for our thoughts, for our words, our actions, is completely different than shaming ourselves for it. One way, perhaps, to have a different perspective on it would be to take a step back and notice how would we feel about this if it was a close friend. If someone that we care about a lot and respect had done the very same thing, would we be shaming them the way we are shaming ourselves? Most of us have a lot more compassion and patience for other people than we do for ourselves. Self-compassion is a way to move out of isolation and self-loathing. It's a powerful experience to share who we are, to be seen and not to be judged. What is the cost of continuing to be aggressive with ourselves and to treating ourselves like the enemy? This runs so much shaming in the background. As we see this, as we see the cost of it, as we see the effect of this, as we really understand how this got going and the drivers of it, we can challenge the inner critic. If you have an active inner critic, be firm with your mind. Our body-mind reacts to these words in our head like they are the capital T truth. Stop as soon as you notice critical thoughts or energy in your body. Use your breath, tapping, tracing, or any of the other practices on the emergency practices page to interrupt the momentum. As we heal the underlying trauma, safety increases. Driven energy like this decreases and the critic loses steam. Come back again and again to that feeling, I am okay. How could you reassure yourself in this moment? Can you include yourself in your circle of kindness and compassion? Your mind might bring up some resistance to that, and that's okay. Keep coming back to that intention. I am on my own side. I feel compassion for myself right now in this moment.